FDIC.gov/MoneySmart. This is the Money Smart Podcast Network, where you learn how to wisely spend it, save it, and protect it. Be money smart. Here is your host, Nick L. Savvy.
Nick L. Savvy with you on MSPM. I want to spend this segment on a problem that is growing at an alarming rate, elder financial abuse. It involves using an elder's money or assets against his or her wishes, needs, or best interests for the abuser's personal gain. It's getting harder to protect our parents and others we love from becoming victims of various forms of theft. This is important information, folks. Andrea Stock has this special report.
It's a beautiful, sunny day, and Christina is cooking her specialty for her 5 grandchildren. It's Christina's day to cook, and everyone gathers round to learn. Christina lives with her daughter and son-in-law, but this was not always so. Last year, she was the victim of elder financial abuse.
I walked around my neighborhood every morning at the same time. They knew my pattern.
A pattern that led to stealing $30,000 from Christina. She was approached by a young couple one morning who said they had just won the lottery. But the wife was crying. They were new immigrants, she said, and they would have to prove their legality in order to collect. One way was a bank account with evidence of money saved. The government wanted to know they were stable, but they had no bank account and no money saved. Could Christina help them?
I was an immigrant, too. I felt for them. It's scary starting out. I wanted to help. They drove me to the bank, and I withdrew $30,000 in cash. They seemed so kind, but they took my life savings.
Christina was victimized by con artists who used deception, trickery, false pretense, and dishonest acts and statements to gain her confidence. But con artists aren't the only ones to be aware of. The elderly can be victimized by telemarketers, other identity thieves, or caretakers. Even their own family members may be abusive. Xander Hamilton, MSPN's financial expert, elaborates.
Family members and caregivers, such as children, grandchildren, and spouses, can be and often are elder abusers. There are many possible reasons for this. The family member may be involved in substance abuse, gambling, or financial problems. It could be that the family member may stand to inherit and feels justified in taking what they believe is almost or rightfully theirs. Also, a family member may fear that his or her older family member will get sick and use up the savings, depriving the abuser of an inheritance. It could be the result of a negative relationship with the older person, which causes a feeling of entitlement. Negative relationships with siblings or other family members may also be the cause. The abuser may want to prevent someone in the family from acquiring or inheriting the older person's assets. We don't like to think about it, but we need to be aware. Especially now, anyone could be an abuser of the elderly. From telephone scams to directed ads on TV to the person who wants to take the elder family member's money, elder abuse is a growing problem.
Christina lost money in her scam, but more than money can be lost. Elder financial abuse covers a wide range of activities, including taking property, forging an older person's signature, getting an older person to sign a deed, will, or power of attorney through deception, coercion, or undue influence. Using the older person's property or possessions without permission. Promising lifelong care in exchange for money or property and not following through on the promise. Using telemarketing to commit scams against older people. In this instance, perpetrators call victims and use deceptions, scare tactics, or exaggerated claims to get them to send money. They may also make charges against victims' credit cards without authorization. So what risk factors should we look for that increase an older person's likelihood of being victimized? Xander Hamilton.
We should be aware of family or community members who are isolated or lonely or have recently suffered a loss. Physical or mental disabilities may put an elderly person in particular risk. I would also be on the lookout for family members who are unemployed or have a substance abuse problem. And problems can be compounded if the elderly person is unfamiliar with financial matters.
Back in Christina's kitchen, she reflects on her experience. She lives with her family now, and she likes it that way.
I'm trying to put this behind me. Sometimes I get angry, but I love living with my family now. I try to use my experience to help others like me, who may be at risk.
This is Andrea Stock for MSPN Financial News.
You've been listening to a special financial news feature on elder financial abuse with MSPN's Andrea Stock. I want to follow up with Andrea's report by talking about what we can do to prevent elder abuse. We're going to take a quick break, and then Andrea will be joining us in the studio.
If you feel that you or someone you know is a victim of elder financial abuse, don't wait. Contact your state's Adult Protective Services Department. You may also contact the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Elder Care Locator at www.eldercare.gov or call 800-677-1116 for a referral to services in your community.
Andrea Stock joins us now in the studio. That must have been devastating for Christina.
Yes, but you know, she has such a great spirit. She volunteers at her local community center, educating elderly adults such as herself on how to protect their financial resources.
That's my next question, Andrea. How can we as a community protect our elderly from cons and identity theft, even from their own families? How can we make them less of a target?
Well, first, I would say we should look for lifestyle factors that may put an elder at risk for financial abuse. For instance, does the elder live alone? Have the elder's outside activities decreased over the past few years? Does the elder have family members in the area, and do they maintain weekly contact? How many local friends does the elder have? And think also about mobility. For instance, does the elder still drive? If so, he or she may be prone to being victimized by driving-related scams. Also, does the elder spend a lot of time on foot in public places? If so, he or she may be targeted by exploiters who search for elderly victims at places such as banks, stores, parks, malls, libraries, you know.
What about caregivers?
Yes, this can be a serious problem, too. There are a number of steps that you can take to ensure the elder is well taken care of and protected. For instance, you can hire the caregiver from a reputable agency. You can check the caregiver's references and conduct a criminal background check on the caregiver. You can lock up the elder's checks, credit cards, etc. It's also a good idea to put together a written service agreement signed by the caregiver and elder specifying duties and pay. And have the caregiver log his or her hours and salary payments and conduct a weekly review of caregiver expenses. If you take these steps, they'll go a long way to avoiding elder abuse by caregivers.
What about legal and financial protections? I'm thinking, for instance, about who regularly checks the status of the elder's bank accounts, charge or credit accounts, or investments.
Yes, it's important to understand where the elder is getting financial as well as medical advice. It's important to know also who oversees the elder's power of attorney. You certainly don't want anyone seeking the advice of fortune tellers or psychic advisors.
Yes, and I'd want my relative to know when and how to call the police for emergencies or non-emergencies, such as a suspicious person.
Oh, absolutely. Community support is extremely important. So ask yourself what information the elders have on support groups or care choices or even housing options in their community.
Well, thank you, Andrea, for being here and for your financial news feature on identifying and preventing elder financial abuse. In our next segment of Money Smart Podcast News, we'll see what the federal government is doing to protect your money. Download Your Protections for more on federal regulations and acts.
This has been another edition of the Money Smart Podcast Network with your host, Nick L. Savvy. For the complete transcript of this segment and additional content on banking, visit us at fdic.gov/moneysmart. Money Smart is a production of FDIC. FDIC, maintaining the stability of America's banking system. Be money smart.